Our gospel is out of the 15th chapter of St. Mark's gospel and begins in verse 1. Very early in the morning, the chief priest with the elders, the teachers of the law, and this whole Sanhedrin made their plans. What were their plans? They've been planning for a long time. You've seen it in the scriptures that we had before, didn't we? And if you go in the passages before this chapter, you'll find that Jesus has already been sent under the Jewish law, had three trials at that time. And now he'll have three more trials that'll be with the Roman government. What was this plan? This plan of the religious leaders, those who should know that be looking for the Messiah, their plan was to do what? Kill him. And throughout Scripture, you will find they tried to look for opportunities to throw Jesus off a cliff. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, they wanted to kill Lazarus. And who else did they want to kill with him? Jesus. Jesus had upset the religious piety of the leaders to the point where people were not looking to them anymore, but starting to look to Jesus. And the plan was, how can we stir the crowd? How can we put this man to death and seem innocent of what we did? How can we work the crowd? We ever use that today? We ever try to work the crowd? You ever try to work the crowd yourself? It hasn't changed much in history, has it? How can I get the crowd to make a decision without all the facts? Just simply believe what we are saying, and because we are your leaders, you will follow what we say. And they will regain the power that they thought they had before Jesus came. They take him to a person called Pilate. I was talking to somebody this week, and I mentioned about Pilate, you know, and they said, I don't like that man. I don't like him in the Bible, don't like anything about him. And Pilate, you know, he tried to make it where anything that happens, not my fault, is it? We hear that Pilate says, I'm just going to wash my hands of this. This is your problem. That's not mine. But we find that Pilate, no different than many people today, they're swayed by the what? By the crowd. What's popular today? We have to be very careful of people persuading us, right? We always have those warnings. If people get on the phone, right, telemarketers, you need this, need this extra. I keep getting this thing in the mail, you know, after getting a car, new car, all of a sudden, you need an extended warranty. It's like, what? It's brand new. Why do I need an extended warranty? Pilate was going to be used by the crowd. But Pilate didn't want to take responsibility. Do you know where Pilate came from? He came from Spain. And we wonder, how did he get to be governor of Judea? Well, he kind of married into it. See, Pilate married Caesar Augustus' granddaughter. And so to get his station, it was because of his relationship with family. And he, as governor, certainly didn't want Caesar Augustus or anyone else to look at him that he wasn't able to carry his duties. But that's how he came about. Remember, his wife had dreamed about this moment. And remember that? And she gave him a warning, didn't she? She said what? Don't have anything to do with this man. Get away from this. Did he listen? Now, see, a good woman we ought to listen to, right? Remember that in a future marriage, a good woman you better listen to, right? She gave him good advice. So, Jesus comes before Pilate. One of the issues that came up on the religious side, Jesus, you must be the king of the Jews. So, Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And what was it? Jesus said, you say so. The chief priest accused him of many things, and if you go through it, they even hired people to come up with accusations because they really didn't have anything to go against him with. They tried it on those three trials on the religious side, and now they're trying to change it on the Roman side. Jesus had no reply. And what was the reaction? They were amazed. Somebody makes an accusation against you. What is our normal response? Stand our ground, defend ourselves, right? Or maybe defend somebody else. And some of us get very angry. And others who are guilty of things, what do? They speak up and deny any of the accusations or anything. Well, as the Old Testament told us, he said nothing. Remember Jesus' purpose. Jesus' purpose since he had been born and came to earth was to do the Father's will. The Father's will was that he would bear our sins, that we might come boldly before the throne of God as holy. And the only way to do that was to have a sacrifice that was holy and would take our sins away. And he said nothing. And I'm sure Pilate was amazed as the others were. Now it was custom that they, at the time of the Passover, is that festival, that they would release someone. There was a man named Jesus Barabbas. Jesus Barabbas meant, under the Barabbas name, a son of man. Not too really important, but kind of interesting because here he had a choice. The people had a choice. You can release the son of man who has done wrong, or you can release your king of the Jews, Jesus, the Son of God. And what did they choose? Their choice was the Son of Man. Today, we all have a choice. We have a choice every day and every moment. Who shall we serve? Shall we serve the Son of Man, ourselves? Or do we humble ourselves and serve the Son of God? What will you choose today? What will you choose tomorrow? Then there became an uprising, and they released Barabbas. But what do they say that they wanted to do with this Jesus? Crucify him. Now, crucifixion wasn't invented by the Romans, but they kind of perfected it on how people would suffer and how they would die. And it's not like it was like you see on some of the pictures showing three crosses on the hill, the skull. It was down below the hill. Today, there's a bus stop there. They pick people up and transport them. It was an area where people would congregate and move through. And the crosses were there. For anyone to go through the area so that they might see these three crucified. Two who had committed even murder, and one that the Jewish people said with that he needed to be crucified. There was no evidence of any wrongdoing. But because the people demanded the crucifixion, he was sent to be crucified. Now Pilate thought, well, I really don't want to do that, so I'm going to have him scourged. And I'll tell you, there's some horrible, horrible things when you read of what our Savior went through. There was a movie not long ago, years ago, called Passion of Christ. It gave you a figment of what his body looked like. It was horrible. I couldn't see it again. So you know, if you like to do any research, I didn't know this until this week, but there was an article put in the Journal of Medical, what do you call it? Medical Science, whatever it is. It was dated March 21st, 1986. It's called On the Physical Death of Jesus. It goes through his crucifixion, even drawings of how he was whipped, how he was put to the cross, and the pain and suffering that he went through. Stuff that would normally people would die before they even got to the cross. The scourging was so bad. You've heard about it. A leather type whip with more than one area that would release the stripes to his body. The end made with brass or sheep bone and would rip into the skin. Some say that when it was done, you could see the tendons, the muscles, the internal parts of the body. In most cases, people who went through it didn't survive. They passed away. And Jesus survived it. And he went to the cross. Those stripes were for you and for me. The soldiers made fun of him, put a purple robe on him, put a crown of thorns on his head, mocked him as being a king. And it's said that even at those times that they would play a game and they would blindfold the person, they would strike them, take the blindfold off, and try to have them guess who had struck them. We hear that they pulled and plucked his beard out. Our beautiful, beautiful Savior. They acted like they paid homage to him. Later we hear of Simon the Cyrene that he was the one to take the cross for the Lord because he couldn't bear it anymore in the sense of traveling to the skull. And later we find in Scripture, we believe that we find his testimony and his family testimony through Scripture. The cross wasn't the whole cross because the main beam was already set. It was the part where your arms would be put out and you carried that. Weighed anywhere from 75 pounds to over 100 pounds. And he was to carry that with his back slashed. Some ladies were known to be around the area that those that were crucified, they would bring wine and mirth. It would be like a narcotic to take away the pain. Jesus what? Refused. He experienced all the pain that mankind would pour out on him and didn't mask it through any kind of a medication. He took it for you and for me. They made fun of him and divided his clothes. And they put on the sign of the cross, the King of the Jews. John's gospel said that they added there, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. A Nazarene was despised. And so the interpretation would be Jesus, the despised one, King of the Jews. And that was mounted on the cross and in several different languages for people to see. And two were crucified with him who were murderers, one on his left, one on his right. And they insulted him. The crowd had heard that he was going to destroy the temple and raise it in 3 days, and so they mocked him to take himself off the cross and stop all this. Could he? He could, but that wasn't the purpose of God, nor him, so he couldn't. Some said he saved others. Why doesn't he save himself? They continued with insults. At noon, darkness came over the whole area until the afternoon, which is created in history books. A rare thing. And then the Lord Jesus came and he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some thought he was calling for Elijah. Someone ran with vinegar and wine and put it on a staff and offered him the drink. And he didn't take it. Jesus breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn two from the top to the bottom. A centurion was there, and he said, truly, this was the Son of God. Some women were watching, and Mary Magdalene of Galilee, the women followed her. Preparation of the Sabbath, the evening approached, and Joseph of Arimathea, he asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Joseph took the body, placed it in the tomb that was cut in a rock for himself, and they rolled the tombstone. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. Brothers and sisters, this is our beloved Savior. This is the time, as we have given of ourselves through the Lent process, of giving something to focus on him. He came to die for you and for me. A sovereign time. All that he suffered, as you understand each moment as you study, was for you. And how do you respond? How do you respond? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Jesus, for one that we love so much. As we remember him going to the cross, he was not guilty. We are the guilty ones, and he paid the price for us. Let us understand that more and more as we go through this time. We're so thankful that his sacrifice was pleasing to you. We are so thankful that he heeded your will and went to the cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen.